Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
6 minutes after 11. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I see my beloved Fadilatul Ustad is with me this morning. Part 1, The Bliss of Marriage. My name Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia. Let me welcome my beloved engineer, Brother Tobela, and let's welcome the listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and Haji Yusuf Asmal and company. And let's welcome the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. This morning is the 8th of October 2019, which is also the 9th of Safar 1441. Our WhatsApp number is 0847863132. You can also send a normal SMS message to the overseas countries, international countries, +27 84786 3132. Well, so let's begin, inshallah, this morning. Somebody says, is it permissible to ask someone else, for example, a pious person, Ustad, to make istikhara on your behalf? Anonymous, Ustad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Tirmidhi Sharif, Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad is mentioned, Inna al-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yu'allimuna al-istikhara kama yu'allimuna al-sura. As Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who teach us the various surahs and chapters of the noble Quran, he, the master, the peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taught us the dua for istikhara, the lengthy dua. The simple dua is, you read as mentioned in Tirmidhi, Allahumma khir li khara khairi. Allahumma khir li. Oh beloved Allah, you select the best for me. Wakhtar li, and you choose for me. So that is what you have to do. Nowhere do we find that people in the past, I'm speaking about Sahaba's time, that somebody would tell another person to do so and so forth. Istikhara is like medication. When a person is ill and sick, you don't say another person must take the medication. You take the injection, you take the medication yourself. So the proper sunnah method is the person himself or herself, regarding marriage or whatever the issue might be, they should make the istikhara. However, if you tell the imam in your locality or the sheikh or the maulana, the mufti, we will say it is permissible but not sunnah. Sunnah is you yourself do it. And remember, you don't have to sleep, you don't have to dream, there's nothing like that in Islam. It's not compulsory, nor is it sunnah. And you just read Allahumma akhirli wa akhtarli, and you say, Ya Allah, you select the best for me and choose for me, and thereafter what comes in your heart, so that is your decision. So it's a simple procedure.
Let's go to Boxburg, Ustad. A sister saying here that what should one do if one's husband disrespects his wife every day, Ustad?
Remember that in marriage there are al-hukukul mushtaraka, there are hukukul zawj, hukukul zawja. Certain rights are common for both husband and wife. Certain rights are for the wife only. Certain rights are for the husband only. Remember that the husband in Surah 4, verse 19, you should make a note of it, sisters. Surah 4, Surah Nisa, the chapter on women, verse 19. Almighty Allah commands and instructs every husband wherever we are in the world. وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Treat your wives with respect, with love, with justice and equity. So for a husband to ill-treat his wife, and in front of people he becomes a paragon of humility, and he creates a pious perception, remember that is all dhoka and deception. The greatest thing to do is to treat our wives and to treat our children well. Remember, not the other way around, that today in front of people people, we want to show we are pious and humble, but in front, in our home, in private life, we are tyrants and zalims and oppressors, so that is absolutely haram. And you need to educate your husband about this when he's in a good mood, and teach him, start ta'aleem in your house, take Riyadu Salihin, the work by Allama Nawawi Rahimahullah, and read the ahadith in your house, take the fada'il works of Hazrat Shaykh Mona Zakariya Nawarallah Marqadahu, read it, inshallah, it will bring about a big change and a transformation in your house and in your husband's behavior and attitude towards you and the children, inshallah.
Somebody is saying, Ustad, from Land South, Mufti Saab, I had received a marriage proposal, but the boy rejected it. I have been thinking about this boy since then. It has been about 7 months now, Ustad. This morning I had a dream about him. We were together and we were both so happy. I would like to know, Mufti Saab, if it is Shaitan who is messing with me, or is there something that Allah wants to show? Jazakumullahu khair. Anonymous, Ustad.
If the boy does not interested in you and so forth, it's just the shaitan or your own psychological mind that you're thinking so much, so you start dreaming about it as well. So, wa asa an takrahu shay'a wa huwa khairul lakum. Sometime in life you dislike something, but in the long term, in the long run, it is better for you, the Quran Kareem states. Regarding dreams, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi Sallam said, you get three types. One is Bushra and glad tidings. You see the Kaaba Musharrafa, the Baytullah, Masjid Nabawi, Masjid Al-Aqsa. It means you're going for Umrah, for Hajj, you're going for Ziyarat to Palestine, occupied Palestine. And tahdithun nafs, that is your psychological mind, you're thinking of somebody, something so much, now you start dreaming about them and so forth. So that is the second category. Third one is takhwifu shaitan. The shaitan is terrorizing you. So you, sister, you must read the manzil before you sleep, sleep at wudu, and say, Ya Allah, protect me from shaitan and the agents of shaitan. And inshallah, you must eliminate it. Eradicate him from your thought pattern and thought process. Otherwise, this will harm you. In salat, you will think of him. Night time, you will think of him. Eating time, you will think of him. And remember, you will be negative all the time. He's not interested in you. End of the story, his history, you carry on with the geography.
Subhanallah. Somebody says, Ya Ustad, that Mufti Saab, if a male asks a female, will you marry me? And the female replies, yes, I will. Just he said in front of others. Does nikah take place, Ustad?
No, nikah don't take place. For nikah to be valid, it must be said in the present tense or in the past tense. Will you marry me? I will marry you. All these are words for the future. So that's one reason already such an act, such a deal, transaction and a saying will not be valid. And the nikah is not valid. Secondly is, there might be witnesses there, but the girl's father did not give permission. So therefore, the nikah is null and void. And the nikah is not valid.
Somebody says, Ustad, I am from Durban. I'm listening to the bliss of marriage. I was made before my parents got married. I was the reason they got married. So Mufti Saab, am I not allowed my father's name? Yet I'm from him. Anonymous, Ustad.
Remember that you are an illegitimate child, that meaning that your mother conceived you before they got married, so that is exactly waladu zina, an illegitimate child. In Islam, illegitimate children's lineage goes to the mother and not to the father, because Islam is very, very particular and cautious regarding the lineage of children, otherwise it will be reduced to that of animals. You see, animals, they don't have to worry of lineage and so forth. So in a case like that, remember that your mother, father, both guilty, they must receive 100 lashes in public. Surah 24 verse 2. Obviously, we cannot do that in South Africa and most countries in the world. Hence, they must make tawbah and repent. And thereafter, you should face the reality. There is no blame and sin upon you. They committed the sin. Yes, they make tawbah and repent. Almighty Allah will forgive them. So whenever a situation like that takes place, according to the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis, the overwhelming majority scholars, they'll say, irrespective of the duration and the time, so their child will be illegitimate and the lineage goes to the mother. Only Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah states, the day your parents got married, and you need to verify this from them, and they need to be honest as well. So from that day when the nikah was performed, till the day you were born, if it is 6 months or more, then you'll be considered as a halal child, and then your lineage will go to your father. But if it is less than 6 months, because the minimum period of gestation pregnancy is 6 months, so if you are born after 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, then remember, according to the Hanafis also, you will be illegitimate child, and your lineage will go to the mother. So only Hanafis have this, that we look at the time from the date of nikah to the date of delivery, the day you were born, 6 months or more, then you are considered a halal child, you will carry the surname of your father. But if it is less than 6 months, then you are haram child, and then remember, your lineage goes to the mother.
Somebody says, Ustad, that if my hubby said I must pack my things and go, does this mean I am divorced, Ustad?
It means you are divorced if he made intention of divorce. If he says he did not make intention, or he says that he was just blank, he just said those words in anger, so in those cases your nikah is valid because he did not make an express, a clear intention of talaq. So we must remember, you can't just say any argument take place and now the husband and wife, the marriage is broken. No. Where ambiguous, unclear words are used and the husband tells his wife, pack up, get out, fly a kite, go to your mother's place, and all these kind words, so he, that husband, must make intention of talaq, then only will the talaq be valid.
Somebody is asking from Kimberley, Mufti Saab, can woman read namaz in masjid, Mufti Saab, Kanala?
My bror, dad, my sister, for the fromance as bitter and the haste to pray at the least. So remember that for the women is best to read salat at home. But if they read salat in the masjid behind the imam in Makkah, Medina, Masjid al-Aqsa and so forth, the salat will be valid. But remember, the reward and the thawab and the ajr is much, much more, better, greater, superior in their own homes. This is clearly mentioned in the ahadith that are sahih and authentic, open targhib wa tarheeb, the hadith of Umm Humayda Sa'idiyah, open Abu Dawood, wa buyutuhunna khairul lahunna. In the golden era of Islam, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the imam. Who can be greater than Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Nobody. The masjid is Masjid Nabawi. Which masjid today in the world is better than Masjid Nabawi? Nothing besides Makkah Mukarrama. And we see Nabi alayhi salatu salam told the ladies, you read salat at home, that is best for you, you will get more reward than reading salat here in Masjid Nabawi behind me, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is a very, very great sign for us and a lesson for us, that our ladies, definitely you must not go to the masjid, you must read your salat at home. And today you see the big mix-up going on where the women come, there's so much noise, the children are crying, they are socializing and talking and so many unhealthy things going on, so therefore it's not permissible.
Somebody says, oh, Ustaz, that what is the ruling regarding a son seeing the sitter of his mother or sister's stomach or in her undergarment? And he says, Ustaz, according to the fiqh, some say it's permissible. Ustaz,
you must remember, it's absolutely haram. Don't try and use fiqh and all that for your ulterior motives and so forth. You must remember that regarding your mother, regarding your sisters and all of them, the portion from above the bosom and the breast to below the knees must be covered. And for you to look at that is totally haram and not permissible. Almighty Allah states, Surah 24, سورة نور verse number 30-31 قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم. They tell the believing men to lower their gazes and then they must protect their private part. The next verse, وقل للمؤمنات يغضضن من أبصارهن ويحفظن فروجهن. That the men, for them from the navel to the knees, that below the knees must be covered as well. So if the sister sees her brother's chest or back, or the mother sees that, that's fine. We're speaking of children who are grown up. So remember, that will be permissible. But for the man to go and see the stomach, all that, totally haram it is. So we need to be clear on these type of issues. And therefore, if you study today's world, where the Western civilization and the Western systems and values has overwhelmed humanity in most countries and overcome their own culture and system and value system, you see today what is happening. There are incidents of incest in the Muslim homes. There are incidents of gay brigade in a Muslim home. There are incidents of zina, fornication, adultery. All this because we ourselves have removed the quality of haya, shame, taqwa, piety. Once we remove that, then iman and haya, they are twins. Any one of them is eroded, then the next one will also vanish. إِنَّ الْإِيمَانَ وَالْحَيَاءَ قُرَنَاءُ جَمِيعًا إِذَا رُفِعَ أَحَدُهُمَا رُفِعَ الْآخَرُ. The hadith of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in Bayhaqi and in Mishkat Sharif that iman, faith, and our haya, shame, morality, modesty, they are two partners, they are like twins. When one of them disappears, the next one also vanishes. And you can see what is happening in today's society.
So you have to listen to this one here. It says, Mufti Saab, I want to know why Mufti Saab is not doing any program in the Junction Masjid in Clarewood. Because this masjid was a hub for the Merkaz, Ustad. It says here, from when Marhum Baipadia and Marhum Dr. Karim was here, now it's gone to Masjid Hilal. But Mufti Saab, please come and give some advices of the pious. Ustad, anonymous.
100%. I remember that masjid very, very well. And I remember one sentence of Haji Baipadia. Mm-hmm. What happens is that our brothers there in Durban, they make mashura and they ask me, is this okay, this okay? So I said, fine for me. Try and spread the program. So I'll tell them, inshallah, even now, if you'll want, we can still maybe add one program there, you know. I'll try and tell them, maybe after Zohar program on a Saturday afternoon or something. The sentence Haji Baipadia, Bai Mota, used to call Haji Baipadia, Rahimahullah, used to say, when that was the Merkaz that time, they used to have Shab Guzari there. He used to say, some brothers only function when they come to Junction. Some brothers only function when they come to Junction. Meaning that now they want to impress Bai Mota, Bai Padia, and now they're doing this, they're doing this, they're doing this. But the whole week they're half asleep and in a slumber. So he used to say they only want to function when they come to Junction. So very good suggestion. Inshallah, when we come for our Rabiul Awwal, I will tell the brothers, inshallah, today I'll inform them. We should try and include one program there, maybe that Saturday afternoon, inshallah, after Zohar. So that will be a good thing also, inshallah.
The sister Nazrin said they will contact you, inshallah, Ustad.
Barakallah.
Ameen, inshallah. Ustad, the listener says, for ta'lim, which is better to recite, from Fadail A'mal or Fadail Sadaqah? Because we are going every week for ta'lim, Ustad.
Remember, these type of issues, you must make mashura with your shura there. You know, you got different regions, different areas, and you have the zimmedar, the responsible brothers there. So you must make mashura with them, whether you should read from Fazail-e Sadaqat or Fazail-e A'mal or whichever. So I just tell you that these are the books you should read, which exact portion you should read, that you must ask your elders, your responsible brothers there in your region, your town, your city. And likewise, we also encourage the reading of Riyadu Salihin. Remember, when the Arab Jamaats go out in different parts of the world, then that is the book they read. So therefore, I encourage that as well. The Fazail Kitab of Riyadu Salihin. Most Darul Ulums also teach it. It is so maqbool and accepted by Almighty Allah Jalla Wala in the Arab world, that our Ustad Sheikh Muhammad Ali Sabuni, Rahimahullah, he wrote wrote a whole copy, meaning he edited the whole Sir Riyadu Salihin, and he used his footnotes and so forth, which I have by me, and he made it so interesting. So it's a wonderful kitab for the ulama, for the students, and for the public. So that book also. But all this in your ta'aleem, you know, when you're having your late weekly ta'aleem, then make mashura with your elders, and then read the books they suggest to you.
Somebody says, Ustad, we are recently married couple living in Cape Town. I, the husband, have non-Muslim friends that I know from university, and they have two children, and they live in Johannesburg. The question is, Ustad, can I, the husband, speak to this non-Muslim friends, male or female? My new bride has a problem with me speaking to the female friend. Now my wife has a male friend, Ustad, non-Muslim, that lives in Cape Town and wants to speak to him, and I told her that I will not accept or allow this to happen, as a male cannot speak to my wife, period. Please, Mufti Sab, be very clear what your answer, Mufti, as this is a daily argument in our new marriage. Anonymous, Ustad.
But both of you are being childish. How can you justify it for yourself, and you don't want to justify it for your wife? So Quran Sharif is clear, وَلَا مُتَّخِذِينَ أَخْدَانَ وَلَا مُتَّخِذَاتِ أَخْدَانَ. The Quran Sharif says, you can't be having girlfriends, that is for the men. And for the woman, Allah is saying that you cannot be having male friends. So this is strangers we are speaking about. So you got no business as a husband. You are in Cape Town, now you want to speak to your old girlfriend or old friend from the varsity and so forth. So obviously your wife must feel upset, and she must, Islamically, is 100% right. We call that ghira, that is against her self-esteem, her self-respect, that she's allowing you that, you know, say, carry on speaking to the woman and so forth. You were in school word, in university word, so that will be counterproductive to your marriage. Now when she posed the same question to you, that she will speak to her friend and so forth, so you went very, very ballistic. So the same law applies to you. So for both of you, it's haram. You cannot be speaking to some female girl here, whether it's in Cape Town or Johannesburg or Hammanskraal, and she cannot be speaking to the male friend or whatever, because the law in Islam is very clear. Both ways Allah mentioned it. وَلَا مُتَّخِذِينَ أَخْدَانَ وَلَا مُتَّخِذَاتِ أَخْدَانَ. Islam promotes a pure and a chaste society. The Western system, they say, broad-minded. The man must speak to the woman, the woman must speak to the man, exchange of cell phone numbers, then you pose and send one selfie to him and her, and then one thing leads to another. By the time, I'm speaking generally, you come to know, then the woman ran away with the husband's best friend. So because of the so-called broad-mindedness, Islam says you don't solve the symptoms. Islam says you must go to the root causes, and this is how Islam says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Do not even go near fornication and adultery. So for both of you, it's haram. Both of you ask one another forgiveness and say it will not happen. You are newly married, and both of you should cement your relationship. Read Surah 25, verse 74, abundantly and daily. رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ. O Almighty Allah, grant us such spouses and children that are the coolness of the eyes. Daily read the 99 beautiful names of Almighty Allah. Surah 7, verse 180. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْءُوهُ بِهَا. That Almighty Allah has wonderful, beautiful names. Invoke and call Almighty Allah by those names. The hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Tirmidhi Sharif, مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Who memorizes it, who reads it, inshallah, you read it daily, you enter Jannah and paradise. There's one attribute of Allah I want to focus on. Ya Wadudu, Ya Wadudu, Ya Wadud. Ya Allah, you are the creator of love. Ya Allah, we are newly married. Amen. Let us our hearts go and gel with one another. Let our hearts be together, not only the body and so forth. So the body, the hearts, everything must be united. then they will have unity of thought, and then all these other so-called friends will not come in between you, because now you have unity of purpose, unity of thought, and then you will cross all the, you know, when you go in the plane, then they will tell you turbulence. So in life you will have turbulence, so together you will overcome this turbulence. So both of you need to become to your senses and don't behave like small children.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. Ustad, four ways. Let's go to four ways. Mufti Saab, this is Brother Mustafa and Sister Sakina. They want to know, is the program live right now? The Bliss of Marriage.
100% live. We're not dead. We're 100% live. I'm alive here in the studio. Mona Arafat is alive. Tobela is alive there in the technician's room. So we're all alive. Alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah. Ustad, I've read that the sitter between two Muslim females is the area between the navel and the knees. Will it be permissible to go to a Muslim female to wax half leg and do hairstyles? My husband is totally against it, but he's not understanding. The female to wax me is a lady who is in niqab. Parda, Ustad.
It's haram what you want to do. You must remember that, first of all, your first premise also is incorrect. The fatwa we pass is this, that woman to woman, unless it is a matter of life and death or operation or something, then different. In normal circumstances, we say from above the bosom, above the breast to below the knees. So that is the portion. So you can't be going there from waxing and all that, and you say that you're opening your this and that and all these kind of things, and to do bikini, all that is absolutely haram. Yes, it is waxing there, the bottom, for example, below the knees, so that is fine. But now you want a hairstyle, you want your hair to be cut, you want your hair to be trimmed, you want your hair to be, you understand, styled like this one, that one, since when all that is permissible? So if the lady doing this is in niqab, so what? So 100,000 ladies today in niqab are doing a lot of haram things also. So that is no dalil. It's like saying the Maulana does so, so he's doing it. So say a weight comes like that, that the Maulanas are all correct. You get ulama'i haq and you get ulama'i su. So you get the true ulama and you get the ulama who are cursed to the society. So you must remember that, yes, the same thing also. People will use Islam just for their own income and so forth. So you need to be very, very clear that these type of things definitely not permissible.
Somebody says, Mufti Saab, I have diagnosed with cancer and I am ready to write my will out, Mufti Saab. Does my wife also inherit, or only my children, Ustad?
Remember that regarding inheritance, this week, Friday night, today is Tuesday, so Friday night, diarize it. Between 6:30 after Maghrib till 8 o'clock, it will be live on Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, inshallah, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, a program on the Islamic law of succession, Islamic law of inheritance. We will give you the virtues and the history and the problems people are facing nowadays and so forth and so on. So now that is, and it will be live, as I mentioned, up past 6 to 8. Then 8 o'clock, the delayed program will play on Radio Al-Ansar also. So those of you in Durban can listen to it after 8 o'clock. It will be on Radio Al-Ansar. So that is as far as the program goes. Regarding your particular issue, remember, husband dies, wife must inherit. Wife dies, husband must inherit. So you are drawing up your will. This is what you must write there. Number one, it must be in this sequence. Burial expenses that will come from your estate. The debts of the deceased. So all your creditors must be paid. Personal debts, corporate debts, business company debts, whatever it is. Third one, if somebody bequeaths, you bequeath now for Markaz Sahaba, or you bequeath for the Sirius FM, or Ansar Radio, or whatever. So that you call wasiya for non-heirs, a person or organization, maximum is 1/3 of the total estate, and 4th is the shares of the heirs. So you, brother, I don't know regarding your parents, you haven't mentioned anything, so we'll give you both scenarios. You pass away, your wife is alive, so they are surviving you, so she will receive 12.5%. Then your children, let's say it is 3 sons and 1 daughter, so in a case like that, your wife will get 12.5%, and then remember that the children there, that is now, they will make 7 shares. shares. So for the remainder, so two. So for the three sons and one daughter, so that is their one share. So for the three sons, 25%. For the daughter, 12.5%. And you, 12.5%. So that is how it will work out. So the ratio 2:1 for sons and daughters. If there are parents there as well, your parents, the husband's parents, they are alive. So you, the wife, 12.5%. The parents will get 1/3, 1/6, 1/6, and the residue remainder will then be distributed among the children, and the ratio 2:1 for the sons and daughters. So that is how the will will be, and it's compulsory upon you to draw up the will according to the Sharia and not make a will that is willy-nilly as we want to make it. Nay, that is totally haram.
Ustad, anonymous brother says that love listening to your Bliss of Marriage every Tuesdays and Wednesday. He does not miss. He's sitting in the shop at the moment listening to the Bliss of Marriage, but one. He says, Mufti Sahab, I am really fed up. I need some advice. I don't want to be upset. I don't want to be rude. But when I went back home, I just saw that my wife broke all the Coke bottles because her sheikh told that Coke is haram. Mufti Sahab, please advise me, what should I do? I mean, this is not on.
Remember that if you go to the Coke company and ask them, that is there a certain percentage, although it might be minuscule, it might be a very, very small percentage of alcohol. So they will tell you, yes, there is. So you must remember, we the ulama, for how many years we are saying this, if there was no alcohol, they should have sued us long time, and so forth. And you just go to the majlis website, I think the letter and everything is printed there. So you must remember, you will find all the details there. So why you want to look at it as a negative? Why don't you turn the whole thing around as a positive and say, oh darling, you did something so good, I'm going to give you 1,000 rand, 500 rand as a bonus. We as Muslims must eat that which is kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiba. Quran is commanding us, consume that, whether it be liquid or solid, that is halal, is lawful, and it must be tayyib and pure and so forth. Then you will find, you will have that ladha and that opinion, you will have the taste and inclination to do righteous deeds. But when we eat or drink that which is haram, wine and swine, or that which is doubtful and so forth, then we become lethargic, we become lazy and so forth and so on. I don't know who's her sheikh and whatever. Her method might not be the best, but remember, the good thing she did is that now she's removing those things that are doubtful or haram from your home. So should you not be thankful and grateful to her? So you must remember this. I myself, I don't drink Coke. So you must remember this type of thing. We go for Dawud, ulama, people are sitting, they drink, so many of them, but I myself, I won't take. So you must remember these type of things. So we as Muslims must learn this. Da'a ma yuribuka ila ma la yuribuk. I'm asking you one question. You must be honest, my brother, right? You got your juice there, you got your water there. A person came and you saw him or her, for that matter, the waiter, the waitress, call them whatever. They brought one drop of alcohol. Will you drink that water? Will you drink that juice? You will go ballistics out there. You come and put there, you understand? It can happen a lot in a plane. Therefore, when they come with their alcohol, normally I just turn away. Because many a times the lady or the man can make a mistake. And then it spills onto you, onto your clothing or onto your plate or whatever. So we must exercise 100% caution. So take that example and ask yourself, what will be your response? So use that same analogy for the Coke and so forth and see. So you must remember, we agree that either it is haram and not permissible, or either it is undesirable, or either it is doubtful, is 100%. So she did you a big favor by smashing up all those things. So you should not be upset. Go to your darling wife and say, oh honey, I salute you. And yes, 100 rand, 500 rand. So that is what you should be doing.
Subhanallah. 22 minutes to 12. Let us, inshallah, go for a small ad break, inshallah. When we get back, my beloved, beautiful, warm-hearted listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Sirius FM, don't go away.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
نام احمد یہ وہ جو نام اگر نام احمد یہ وہ جو نام اگر ویرانہ بھی منہ سے نکل جائے گا راہ کے سنگ ریزے بکھر جائیں گے راہ کے سنگ ریزے بکھر جائیں گے اہل بیداد کا دل پگھل جائے گا نام احمد یہ وہ جو نام اگر بے ارادہ بھی منہ سے نکل جائے گا
19 minutes to 12, you are tuning in, listening to The Bliss of Marriage, Part 1, 0847863132, 0847863132. I think, inshallah, when we do have time, I'm going to ask my beloved Ustad just to give us a small transliteration of Hazrat Maulana Hafiz Kala, all the way from Newcastle. Maulana Muftab told me this morning they studied together. But nevertheless, Ustad, let's go to the question. I have been married forcefully to my cousin 4 days back, Ustad. I have had no husband and wife relation with her at all. I stay in another country far away from her now. I want to divorce her as I do not want to stay with her. I like someone else. Can you please assist me on how to do the divorce procedures and if there's an idda period? Anonymous brother, Ustad.
I don't understand your question 100%. The way you are posing the question is that you are a male, right? And you are living in Canada, London, New York, or wherever, Pakistan, India. And the wife is in South Africa, or Kenya, or Mozambique, or whatever. First thing I don't understand, you say you were forced to get married. What you mean by that? Who forced you? Your father forced you? Your mother forced you? In Islam, if you use the word force, it means they put the gun at your head and they said they'll blow your brain box out of your head, you know. So that is the meaning. So if they tell you, no, get married, that is not force. So anyway, your marriage is valid to your wife. Second one is this, you say just 4 days ago you got married. So according to the way you are explaining, we answer the questions as they are posed to us, right? So it seems that you and your wife did not even meet. So maybe you'll just send photos or you'll make video call or whatever. All that is not permissible as well. But be that as it may, now you say you want to divorce her and this it that. I'm asking you, my brother, if somebody does that to your sister, or if somebody does that to your daughter the day you get married and you have children, what will you say? Is it right what you are doing? Is it fair to the lady? You got married. And she and her parents, in good faith, they gave you their daughter. And although they're in another country, now you say, no, that I no more like her and so forth. But now you like someone who's... So aren't you playing with this woman and her emotions and her izzet and her honor? Aren't you tarnishing the reputation of that family? So think properly what you are doing. So my advice to you, we're not going to tell you how to give talaq and what have you. We're going to tell you that, brother, that rethink this whole thing and say, for the love of Allah. That is what you must say. For the love of Allah, for the love of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is what my parents wanted. I want their du'as. I will come here to South Africa or Mozambique or Kenya or whatever and take this wife and fulfill her rights. So you can't be playing with people's lives and so forth, and you're not buying a car or a computer or a cell phone. After 3-4 days, you wake up and say, I'll just divorce her. So remember, that is not on, my brother. And you, I don't know y'all, I don't know the girl's family, nor your family. You should also be thinking that if this person really got married to your daughter, then did y'all do some homework regarding him, regarding his family and so forth? He will just give the talaq, and now that your wife, your daughter will, I don't know if they met or they spent time together or not. The way it seems is not. So there are many, many things and scenarios here, but my aim is this. It's so disappointing that today Muslims are doing this. They're playing with the institution of nikah. 3-4 days ago you get married, now you want to give talaq. We are not the Shias. Shias are kafirs. They're out of the fold of Islam. You saw the BBC, how their undercover agent went to Iraq and he exposed the whole Shias. What I'm telling you for past 20 years, Shias are out Muslim, are non-Muslims, and they have prostitution and muta. They say from half an hour, 1 hour to 99 years. That girl says, I can't remember how many times they got me married to men and people and so forth. So do you want to play with Islam like that? Do you want to do all these things? So remember, if you do that, tomorrow, sometime in future, kama tadinu tudan, something will happen to you because you started making a mockery of Islam, my brother. So think properly whatever you are doing and make mashura with your parents, because I get the perception, impression, maybe your parents told you, no, this is the girl you should marry, and now you are saying they forced you into it, and now you're not happy, and now you want to give talaq. So you should reconcile and with your wife and take the du'as of your parents. That is my dua and that is my advice to you.
Ustad, you just spoke whatever you spoke hard now. The brother says, G, Mufti Sahib, we haven't met at all, but I really don't like her and it was my parents' decision, Ustad.
Yes, you don't like her, but now if you do it for Almighty Allah's sake, see my brother, see. So it was right what I said, right? G, you are agreeing with me. G. Now let's go one step further. You see, we're speaking of the golden era of Islam. There is Zayd radiallahu anhu. Now Zayd radiallahu anhu was not a very, very handsome person or a very, very rich person or something like that. And Nabi alayhi salatu salam told him, you must marry Zainab radiallahu anha. Zainab bint Jahsh radiallahu anhu. Both sides there was reluctance. You don't understand? But you know this. But Nabi alayhi salam told him, marry. Lo and behold, they got married. But they were not compatible for one another. So after a few months or what have you, so Zayd radiallahu anha, Zayd radiallahu anhu gave Zainab radiallahu anha talaq. Okay? But they did everything initially for the love of Allah, for the love of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the respect. But things, husband, wife, didn't work out all that. But because they were sincere in their quest to please Almighty Allah, to please Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Almighty Allah, then what Allah did there to elevate Zayd's rank, he is the only Sahabi whose name is mentioned in the Quran. Falamma qada Zaydun, Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anha. She, Zainab radiallahu anha, because she was sincere. Okay, you say so. It is my way. I shouldn't get married to him, but I'm pleasing you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So after the talaq, the iddat expires, Allah Jalla wa Ala announces to Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Zawwajnakaha. Oh Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I, Allah, have performed your nikah to Zainab binti Jahsh. Imagine. One side Zayd, one side Zainab, married and now divorced. But they did it for the love of Allah. They did so for the love of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. See, the marriage ended in divorce, but because they were so sincere, Allah elevated their rank and status forever. Zayd, we can't complete the Quran until we read his name. And Zainab radiallahu anha, Zainab binti Jahsh, used to tell all the other wives, your parents, your family got you married. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, he performed my nikah to Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is the advice I'm giving you. You dislike it, meet her and say, let us both work on this marriage. And for the love of Allah, for the love of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa asa an takrahu shay'a wa huwa khairu lakum. After 1 year, 2 years, she gives birth. Your son is, mashallah, a paragon of beauty. and handsomeness. He becomes an alim, a sheikh. He does that. So you will say, what a mother she is. What a wife she is. What a mother. So many things they can happen. So that is my advice. Don't play with Islam. Don't play with nikah and all that. You will suffer in the end.
Allahu Akbar. Ustad, the brother is saying, make me maaf, Ustad. I will take your advice. I'll read his tihara. Should I give my parents tongue lashing?
Ustad? No. You must thank your parents. They know better than us.
Subhanallah. 0847863132. Somebody says, please tell me, should we follow the four imams? I want to understand their role better. We have four schools of thought. Shouldn't we just follow Quran and Sunnah? Please explain, dear Mufti.
So what you think the four schools they took out from their pocket? They took out from Quran and Sunnah. So if you study the noble Quran, so you will see today the people, 90% of this ummah are jahil and ignorant, whether in the Arab world or whether in the non-Arab world. So the ummah today are ignorant. You can see the ignorance there in Makkah Mukarrama and Medina Munawwara. So 90% of the ummah are jahil and ignorant. So remember the Quran Sharif is telling us, wa Dawood wa Sulaiman idh yahkumani fil harth, that you have one incident, and these are two Nabi, Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Wa Dawood, Nabi Dawood is the father, wa Sulaiman. Regarding the same incident, they passed two different verdicts. Surah Anbiya, chapter 21, verses 78 and 79. Chapter 21, verses 78 and 79. So when both of them passed the verdict, what did Almighty Allah say? وَكُلًّا آتَيْنَا حُكْمًا وَإِلْمًا. We gave both of them knowledge, we gave both of them wisdom, we gave both of them power, authority. The truth, the nearer to the truth, أَقْرَبْ إِلَى الصَّوَابِ, what we call in Arabic, فَفَهَّمْنَاهَا سُلَيْمَانَ. He is the junior, he is the younger one, he is the son, but his verdict was nearer to the truth. So that is what you find. When the Hanafis, the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis, they istimbat, they deduce from the Quran. They deduce from the Ahadith. They deduce from the verdicts of the Sahaba and so forth. They don't take things out from their pocket and so forth. So remember, therefore, in this day and this age, when this Ummah is ignorant, it's wajib and compulsory to follow one school. If you don't do that, and you see today Salafis, I'm emphasizing the word today, like today's Salafis, you must remember, then you end up following your worm's fancies and desires. And when a person follows his desires, then remember the chances are that you go straight to hell, because the Quran Sharif has condemned it in so many places in the noble Quran. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. Have you seen that person who made his desires his God? So therefore, my brother, first thing take out of your mind that the four schools, they are taking out to follow Quran Sunnah. So that's exactly what they are doing. But remember, the scope of deducing and deduction can differ. So therefore, you have differences on secondary issues. And remember, the second thing is this, we have to follow one school so that we don't end up following our whims and fancies and desires.
Subhanallah. Muftisab Anonymous, I know who my husband was flirting with, and this woman used to make him fight with me a lot. Can I approach her and tell her to stop interfering in married couples, Ustad?
Your husband should also be to blame. How come he was flirting with her and he's still allowing her that now space in your marriage? So you all must change your bills numbers. You all must sever total ties with her and tell her that any time you interfere in future, then we will report you to your parents, to your family, and we'll put it on social media that you're a big fitna maker. You want to destroy people's marriages and so forth. So remember, when people are bent in destroying you, so then you have to retaliate. So that is what you have to do. So first give her the warning and so forth and so on. And your husband must also bear the brunt and the blame. How come that he is allowing these type of things to continue?
Muftab, a brother wants to know, what is the cure for addiction to porn? Really need some help for my friend. Tried everything, please advise. Respected Muftisab.
Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, has taught us in the noble Quran, Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim. You see the question itself, the person is not sincere. He say, I tried everything. If he's here in front of me, I'll ask him one thing. That you tried everything, take that smartphone, take that iPhone, and smash it to pieces now. Did you try that? He said, no. So we want to take the poison, but we cry, we say, I want shifa. So if you are sincere, you take that phone now and take your car and drive it over that thing there. Put it under your feet and smash it to pieces. And go buy that small simple phone that don't have no internet, don't have no nothing. You just have to speak to somebody. That is why you need the phone. But we want to have all the latest gadgets. Press this button, then this site will come up. Press that button, then that site will come up. So we want to keep the poison. And then they say, let me read something. So the person is taking poison. He say, please tell me one dua, so I must feel better. Who's fooling who? You're making us idiots. You must remember this type of things there. So it don't work like that, my brother. In life, if you want to change, then you have to change. The Quran Kareem states, Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim. Allah will not change you until you yourself change within yourself.
4 minutes to 12. This is the bliss of marriage. I tell everybody, just tune in every Tuesdays and Wednesdays. I see Sister Teresa says, Molana, I definitely want the podcast. I want my children to listen to today's the bliss of marriage. Ustad, is a married son allowed to visit his parents without his wife if asked to do so? If the discussion does not about his wife, but to teach him to correct his ways, not to embarrass him in front of his wife. Anonymous, Ustad.
100% there's no wife in the world that can tell her husband he must not go to his parents. So whether they are living in the same town, whether they're living in another town and so forth. So sometimes I even tell the husband, you don't have to take your wife and drag her there all the time. And if the parents want to rectify certain things of their son, so then by all means call him there with love and, you know, hikmat and wisdom. So tell him this, not in front of your children, the other children, not in front of his wife and your grandchildren and so forth. So 100%, and nobody will object on that. So what must happen is we must build the family ties, not go and curtail it. Yes, where the parents are now becoming an intrusion, they want the son to divorce the wife, they want to break the marriage, and then remember the son must visit his parents, but he must be there for a short period only, not get now caught up by them and their propaganda when there is no legal legitimate reason in Islam. So sometimes we get these type of situations, the parents don't like the daughter-in-law just because she speaks a different language, or her complexion is not what they want, or some other crazy reason. So cases like that, still you don't sever ties with your parents. You must go to them, take their du'as, but don't accept their advice of talaq and so forth.
So before we leave, inshallah, it's about 2 minutes left. A listener says that they are the followers of Facebook for Markaz and Twitter for Markaz Sahaba. And they're asking if we could all see the team, maybe pictures of the presenters, Ustad.
No, it's not permissible that, and therefore I told the team that all this you must never do. And if somebody, we give lectures here and there. The other day I was someplace and I was delivering a lecture. So they told, then the MC, the person in charge, announced, please put your cameras away and so forth. So remember, we don't want all these things here. So we say our aim is to educate the Ummah and bring about true, correct information according to the teaching of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And with Allah's help, that will bring about transformation. We don't want all these haram things of going on the TV and all these things there. So today people get hooked with all the satanic things. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Inshallah, next up will be the news. And thereafter, we will join Brother Alpha Sinkosi with the current affairs. 1 o'clock will be the Adhan. And remember that the person then will, after that will be the tafsir of the Quran from 5 past 1 to half past 1, Surah Mutaffifin, and then half past 1 to 2 will be the from the archives, inshallah. Jazakallah khair, salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
1 minute to 12, we leave you there, my beloved, beautiful listeners. Jazakumullah khair for interacting. From myself, Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, Allahumma hadina wa hadibina wa hadina sa jami'a. Salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.